So conflicted. grab hands with somebody next to you. I got my awesome shirt that Richard bought for me. I stand with Israel. And before we jump into prayer for this message, why don't we just grab hands? Let's pray just for a minute. Just let's pray peace over Israel. So, Lord Jesus, we do, Lord, in a time and in a world filled with so much hatred, God, you love Israel. You love Israel. And we love Israel, and we just pray for peace. We pray for peace over Israel right now, Lord, and no matter what the news is telling us, no matter what Muslims are saying, Lord, we want to see those little Palestinian kids be free. But God, that doesn't negate and that doesn't stop your heart for Israel. And so, Lord, we just pray peace over Israel. We pray for safety and refuge for those that are still captive. Lord, we pray that they would be released in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that right now. We join with the church worldwide, and we pray for peace over Israel. We pray for the enemy's plans to be destroyed in Jesus' holy name. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Just in your own words, just link hands with the person next to you, and just with your own words, just pray something out, and you speak peace. You speak life. You speak freedom. You speak healing. You speak deliverance. Just for 30 seconds, just pray in your own words. You, Lord. Yeah, we just thank you. We thank you.
Jerusalem, and we bless Israel, Father God. We thank you for all those that are fighting for their country, their nation, Father God. We pray for the Jewish people to turn their hearts to you, Yeshua, and know the true living God. CIA and the FBI and all the different entities that are
Hallelujah. Thank you, King Jesus. Come on. We speak peace. Peace and deliverance in Jesus' name. Peace and deliverance over Israel. Peace and deliverance over America in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, we just lift up today. We thank you that you're already moving. God, I thank you for the sweet worship. God, I thank you for the atmosphere that the worship team just brought into this place. And Father, we just pray there would be a continuation of your grace and your anointing and your freedom in this house. Holy Spirit, we just lean into you today. We ask for your power. We ask for your mercy. We ask for you. We just want you. We just want you. And so come, Holy Spirit, and have your way and anoint these words in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I got a message I want to just share with y'all. And I'll take you to a few different scriptures. You can go to, I guess the first place we'll land is Colossians. So you can go there for, I'll be there for a quick second. But I want to talk about the power of gratitude. I think it's so appropriate, you know, with Thanksgiving obviously coming just right around the corner, but I'm really just, I just want this to be a message that burns in my heart 12 months out of the year. I don't want to just have my thankful list in November, like something I'm thankful for every single day. Like, I am learning, like, gratitude is such a supernatural power. And if we lean into it, it unlocks so much in the supernatural. And so I am just trying to discipline myself to have a heart of gratitude in all situations. Not just when I'm on the mountaintop, but when I'm in the pit. When I feel like I just got ran over by a truck spiritually. And you have to maintain a heart of gratitude. Hallelujah. And, you know, I love this poster right here. Thankful hearts prepare the way. Amen. That's a scripture based out of Psalm chapter 50. And it's a translation that a thankful heart prepares the way. And so when we choose gratitude, when we choose thankfulness, it literally is like the landing strip for Jesus in our life. It's like, you know, we have so many planes and all these airlines that come to land in Mammoth, and sometimes there's so much snow and ice they can't land and they have to turn around. I was on a plane one time. I'm almost landing in Mammoth and they turn around and take us back to LA. I'm like, gosh, no. And because it's like, oh, too much wind, or there's snow, or there's ice, and it's for your safety. But I'm realizing that when we choose gratitude and when we lean in, it's like you begin to clear all the stuff off your runway. And all of a sudden, Jesus just lands in your life. Wha-bam. Come on, just do that to your neighbor and say, wha-bam. And we need to clear the runway for King Jesus once again. Hallelujah. And the Bible has so much to say about gratitude. It has so much to say about thanksgiving, thankful hearts. And, you know, I'd encourage you to do a word study on gratitude, on thanksgiving, and you'll come up with so many scriptures. And I just want to give you a couple today, and then we'll lean into what we're talking about. But it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Come on, Paul, preach it. Paul says this. He says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, 5 verse 20, giving thanks sometimes. Give thanks occasionally when you feel like it, when you have goosebumps. No, give thanks always for all things. Not just your new car, not just your promotion, but you give thanks for all things. For the person that just stabbed you in the back. You thank God. Father, I thank you. Lord, I am not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. I'm choosing grace. I'm choosing mercy. I'm choosing forgiveness. I thank you, Lord. I'm leaning into this heart of gratitude. Come on, it's so powerful. We give thanks for always and in all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's teaching us something here. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, again, here he goes. In everything, give thanks. Say everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of the Lord. So thanksgiving and gratitude, it's so important, and it's something I just want to learn more about. I want to get a hold of it in my heart. And as I'm just kind of processing and leaning into this, and all hell has been, you know, just been going crazy in our nation, but, you know, in everything, in our church, like all kinds of crazy stuff has been going on this last year. But God is good. And I'm learning, God, I'm just going to lean into you. You're still the same. You're the God that was with David. You're the God that was with Paul. You're the God that is with me. You're the God that's with Church on the Mountain. You're the God that is with America. You're the God that's still with Israel. Amen? And so I'm learning there's stuff that happens when you choose a heart of gratitude. And the first thing that I find, I think this is just so cool. Gratitude is the door to God's presence. It says this in Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I love that picture. And as I was reading this scripture, it just kind of, it made me think about, you know, we've all been to hotels, and recently, not too long ago, I was staying at a Marriott, and I was so excited. I checked in, and I don't know what I did with my key card, and so I'm checking my pockets, and I'm like, what did I just? Did I leave it at the front counter? And so I have to, you know, you have to drive your car all the way around. And now I'm at the parking garage, right? And so I'm sitting at the parking garage. My name is on the list. I have a room in there somewhere. But I cannot get into the hotel without this. And so I'm sitting at the parking gate, and I'm like, gosh, where is it? Where is it? And all of a sudden I find it. It's in the console. I pull it out. I still have it. So, sorry, hotel. I pull it out, and you slide it on there, and all of a sudden, boom, the gate opens, and you're able to access everything that is in that hotel, the gym, the coffee, right? Your room that has been set aside for you. And this is how it is. Like, I think so many times, like, I'm coming with a grudge. I'm coming with animosity, with offense, with all these things, and I'm not choosing gratitude. And the Bible says, without gratitude, you're not coming in. You're not coming into his presence. Like, so this is why praise and worship is so powerful. This is why starting each day, not with praying in tongues, which I'm a big advocate for praying in tongues, but start your day with thanksgiving. Start your day with, Lord, I thank you. This is biblical protocol. As you thank him, then the Bible says that the gates swing wide. And enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and then you come into his courts, and you bring your praise. Oh, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are so good. God, I bless your holy name. I praise you for your holiness, for your goodness, for the fire of God. You praise him, but you start with thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is your gate key. And I think you're like, well, I don't have a gate key. We all have a gate key. It's been implanted in you when you were born. And it's by faith that you access it. Because it's so easy to like come under the emotions and to come under feelings of everything that's happening or not happening. But God has put this key card inside of us. It's in our heart. And you access it by opening your mouth. There's a storm on my left, there's a storm on my right, but God, I thank you. God, I choose you. I thank you. It's gratitude. And all of a sudden, whew, you can feel him. You want to feel his presence, then begin to thank him. And so thanksgiving and a heart of gratitude will shift your perspective and shift you from man, this mountain is so big, this giant is so big, am I ever going to do this? Am I ever going to pass? Am I ever going to go around and collect $200 once I go around, go, right? Monopoly. My kids are really into Monopoly right now. it's fun, yeah. It's a great game. And then there's like this new one, it's like it's millionaire version or something. But thanksgiving is your gate key, and it brings us into God's presence. Let's just take a 10-second break here and close your eyes and lift your hands and just thank him. Thank him. Thank him for your spouse. Thank him for your child. Thank him for your job. Thank him. Thank him for the opportunities that he's given you. Thank him. Thank him for your health. Thank him that you still have breath in your lungs. Thank him. There's so much to be thankful for. God, I thank you. I thank you so much. Right now, I choose thanksgiving. I choose a heart of gratitude. I thank you. Thank you for my family, Lord. Thank you for my daughter. Thank you for my kids, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we choose gratitude right now. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for mercy, God. Thank you that I've experienced your mercy, Lord. When I didn't deserve it, I thank you for that, Lord. When I was a nobody, nothing, going nowhere, and getting drunk and loaded, but God, you found me. You found me. You found me, Lord, in my mess. You found me in my distress, Lord. You found me in my brokenness. And God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord. I will not forget that day. And I choose to live with a heart of gratitude. Nothing will steal my gratitude. Nothing will steal my heart that says I'm thankful. And we will be a thankful church in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If we want to enjoy the benefits of the hotel, you have to have your key. If you want to enjoy the benefits of God's love and presence, you have to bring your key. And your key starts with your mouth. It starts with your voice. It starts with your thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the gate opens. He's not withholding anything from you, but it's we access the kingdom by faith, right? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Number two, so that's the first thing I love. I love God's presence so much. And gratitude is the door to God's presence. The second thing I see about gratitude is that heart of gratitude brings you freedom. Say freedom. Say it again. Say freedom. Freedom. Hallelujah. With your best William Wallace voice, say freedom. Freedom! I remember several years ago when Marty Robertson was still coming to the church, and I had that same thought, and I'm like, oh, we have a Scotsman here. So I had him say it. It was just beautiful. But gratitude brings freedom. And I want to take you to a scripture that maybe you are not thinking of. It wasn't really even on my radar, but it's so good. And it's in the book of Jonah. Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. And we know the story of Jonah. It's such a powerful story. You know, Jonah had a call of God in his life. He was called, he was anointed, he was appointed, and he chose to run in the opposite direction, like a lot of us do sometimes, right? And he was running from the Lord and running from the call and running from what God had spoken over him and into him. And he finds himself on a boat, and all the waves are going crazy because they got this guy that's rebelling against the Lord. And they're like, what's going on? You know the story. You've seen VeggieTales, I'm sure. what's going on? Like, there's, what's up with the wind and the waves and all this stuff? And Jonah's like, it's me. You know, I'm rebellious. You know, just throw me overboard and you'll all be safe. And they're like, what? This, you're crazy. But he ends up talking them into it. And I mean, that's crazy that they would be like, you're right. We're just we're gonna throw you overboard. And they do. They throw him overboard, and this huge whale comes and swallows him. Such a wild story. But listen to this in Jonah chapter 2. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves, they passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. I went to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But listen to this, verse 9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I love this. This speaks to me on so many levels, because, you know, maybe you've never been swallowed by a fish. Maybe you've never been swallowed by a whale, but I think there's moments in our life where it feels like we have. And it could come in so many different ways. It could come with a bad diagnosis. It could come with a friend dying. It could come with a family member dying. It could come with betrayal. It could come in these so many things. You know, you find yourself in a financial ruin. Like, everything is closing in, and all of a sudden, you literally feel like you're in this place with no hope. And like, usually, like most of us, I feel like we're typically optimistic people, right? We've learned the American way, and you can see a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, if you'll work hard, if you'll put your hands to the plow, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But sometimes, like, traumatic events happen and hit you so hard, you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel anymore. You don't feel, there's no more hope, and you feel closed in, just like Jonah said. And it's like, it's in this environment where you feel nothing. You feel hopeless. You feel forgotten. You don't feel his presence. You feel sick. Maybe it's like your marriage is crumbling and right before your eyes, and it's like it's shattering. You're like, I feel lost. I feel hopeless. I feel like I am literally in the belly of a whale, and there's seaweed all over my head, right? We can feel so hopeless, but it's in this moment that he begins to praise. He says, but nevertheless, like, I feel horrible. I feel all these things, but I'm going to turn my gaze to your holy temple, and I'm going to bring thanksgiving. Come on, thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude in your worst of worst situations will bring deliverance. It'll bring great freedom. And I just feel like so many of us, myself included, you know, there's been so many things happening over the course of this last year, and then nationwide over the course of our last 3 years. And I've talked to people that are getting so jaded and getting so lonely and sad about the condition of our world, and they're just kind of shrinking back and shrinking back and shrinking back. But this is the moment where you have to stand up. Regardless of what you feel, regardless of whatever's happening around you, you rise up and you begin to lift your voice, because he's still the God that can spit you into a new season. Like maybe you're like, man, I'm in a whale. But you just turn your gaze back to him and you thank him. And all of a sudden you're like, you're a wet, shaggy dog, but you're in a new season. Like I smell horrible. I smell like fish vomit, but I'm in a new season. And this is officially a new chapter. Hallelujah. But the enemy wants to just beat us down and make you feel like you're always going to be in this belly. You're always going to be in this situation. You're never going to get a promotion. You're never going to get a raise. Your marriage is never going to get better. Your kids are never going to come back to God. Right? All these things, you're always going to be here. No, 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 no. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I honor you. I bless your name. I turn my gaze back to your holy temple, and you're going to get spit up. Hallelujah. That's a good visual right there. Holy spit. Gratitude. Gratitude. I want an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude when I'm in the worst of worst situations, when I'm in the best of best situations. Like I love that, like about Paul. He's like, you know, whether I'm planting churches, whether I'm raising the dead, whether I'm in chains, whether I'm shipwrecked, whatever. He's like, you cut me down the middle. I am the same in any season. Any season you can cut Paul down the middle and you're still going to find a man that will praise and worship and give thanksgiving no matter what. He's literally dying in the middle of the ocean. And he's like, but God, everybody's like, we're sinking. They probably don't even know how to swim. But God. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So gratitude brings us into his presence. We need his presence. And gratitude brings us freedom. We need freedom. We need freedom in our churches. We need freedom for those that are struggling with addictions. Come on, it's hard working with people that have serious addictions, because sometimes it's hard to get their eyes off their problem and to get their eyes off of their addiction. But you can. And if you'll keep working with them and get their eyes up. Like I heard the most beautiful testimony the other night. We did this thing. It was called A Night of Hope. We partnered with the Nazarene and a few other churches in Bishop. And it was this. It was called A Night of Hope. It was for people struggling in addiction to come hear testimonies and to hear about God's delivering power. And it was so awesome. And one of the people was Wes's niece, Jamie. And incredible, incredible testimony of God's faithfulness, of finding hope in the midst of the belly. And so we need to see freedom in our land. But it's going to start with us being grateful. Amen. Hallelujah. The next scripture or the next point I would say is. Gratitude is a choice. It's a choice. And I'm going to use another scripture that I could have easily used for my point on freedom. But this is it. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says this, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, thanking God, singing hymns to the Lord, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Hallelujah. Come on. And the rest of the story is so powerful, but I love this. So this is a great illustration also of freedom. But when I kind of just really look at it deeply, I'm just so reminded that it's really a choice. Because Paul and Silas, they were not like Jonah. Jonah was running from the Lord. Paul and Silas were running to the Lord. They were obeying. They were in the will of God. And all of a sudden, in the will of God, they're finding themselves being beaten, their clothes being ripped off, being dragged to the city leaders and then thrown into a prison in the will of God. That messes with your mind a little bit. And so here they are, chained up in the innermost parts of the prison, chained to each other. And like, I don't know, like, I remember being mad, not mad at God, but just mad. Like, I remember just giving, at 19, I just fully gave my life to Jesus. And I was all in. I never looked back. I just went full force and just started traveling the world and lived in Mongolia. You know the stories. But I just said, God, I'm going to give part of my life to the nations. I'm going to sow part of my life. And so I remember years later, you know, when my daughter was sick, I was just so mad. Like, I was mad at the devil. I was mad at just at life for a moment. I'm like, what the heck? What the H-E double hockey stick, you know? I gave my life to the nations, Lord. I gave my life and I served people. I served the homeless and the prisoners. And I gave, and now my own daughter is dying. You know, I was just mad. But then you have to wrestle with those emotions because emotions are real. Wrestle with them, figure them out, and get back into the presence of the Lord. And but I see this in Paul and Silas because they were in God's will, and now they're in prison. And so they have a choice. They could be bitter. They could be angry. They could be angry at God. Oh, why are we in here? You told us to preach. And now I got a black eye. Thanks a lot, Lord. And they could have been so mad, and they could have been singing. You know, I've said this before when I've preached at Acts 16, but it's worth repeating. But they could have had a "Oh woe is me" song, right? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow but Jesus, or however it goes, and clinging their cup across the jail bars. But this wasn't what they did. They didn't choose to be bitter. They didn't choose to get revenge. They're like, oh, when we get out, if we get out and when we get out, we are going to have revenge on these people. No, they chose thanksgiving. They chose, Lord, you're still good. You're still faithful. You're still Lord over it all. And they begin to worship him in their chains. And all of a sudden, because of their choice of gratitude, boom, here we see again, great freedom. And this story is so, it's just so fantastic how the jailer ends up getting saved. Him and his whole family get saved. I mean, it was such a supernatural night, but it started with two men making a choice. And like, how many times are we in these moments where like maybe somebody's just offended you, somebody's cut you off, somebody was mean at you and they're making your coffee, right? There's all these like petty things that we just take the bait for. But what would happen if we just didn't take the bait and we chose to stay in a place of gratitude? Like, what if like 2 hours later, like they're going to have this moment like the jailer did? You never know, right? And so, come on, gratitude, say gratitude is a choice. You can't control your circumstances, but you can control your attitude. You can pre-decide how you're going to respond. I think that's so important because a lot of times we don't pre-decide, and so then we react. And when you react, many times we react out of our emotions. But when you pre-decide how you're going to respond to something, it can happen. Bullets can fly. People can cut you at the knees. But you've already pre-decided what you're going to do. No, I am a person of gratitude. I am a person of honor. And I'm not going to come under this thing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it takes work. And it takes discipline. And it takes practice. You got to practice this. And it doesn't just come overnight. But practice it and practice it and practice it. And just practice gratitude. Practice choosing gratitude. I remember years ago as well. I think we were... you know, it was after everything with Gia, and we had to go back to LA, and so we were down there and doing some checkups, and it was just a super long day, and you know, longer for her, you know, as they're putting little needles in her arms and all this stuff and checkups. It's just not fun when you're like 2-3 years old, And so we're driving back, and she's just grumpy. She's hungry. She's probably in pain, all this stuff. And she starts crying like crazy. And I'm driving. Have you ever been there? Just the crying won't stop. Like, oh, thank you, Lord. And it just won't stop, and it won't stop. And I'm like, Heather, can you please just make her stop? Like, do something. I'm trying to drive the car. And so she gives her a toy, and then she kind of just looks at me, and she's like, well, and this is after everything, you know, she's cancer-free. And she's like, well, I think we just need to be thankful that we have a daughter. Because it could have gone in a completely different direction. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the crying, Lord. Thank you that there's somebody crying in the back seat, you know? And it's a matter of perspective. Yeah, maybe it's like grating on your ears at the moment. But like, if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, like, he is good. He's faithful. He did a miracle, you know, and so thank him. Choose gratitude. Come on, it's a choice. And then my last point, and in a few minutes, I don't know how long this last point will be, but we'll maybe get you up here, Patrick. But my last point is this: is that with it being a choice, we choose gratitude. So it brings us into his presence. It brings us freedom. We have to make the choice. But in doing that, in making a choice, you have to let something go. Say, let it go. Let it go. And I was thinking about, you know, we got Thanksgiving coming. And I love Thanksgiving. I love a good Thanksgiving meal. I love pumpkin pie. I just love it all. And yams. Thank you, Jesus. You knew what you were doing. But think about it. Think about if you were to come to your Thanksgiving table and you come with a plate and that plate is already full. I just got a bunch of canned stuff here because I'm not going to make a Thanksgiving meal. But you get the point. We got green beans and we got pumpkin pie and we got corn on the cob. We got yams. We got all this stuff. So what if I come to the Thanksgiving meal and I'm so excited? Like my taste buds are just going crazy. I could taste those mashed potatoes. I could taste that fresh gravy that my mother-in-law makes. I'm like, oh, this is going to be heavenly. But I come in with a preloaded plate. And I'm walking around with my plate, and now I have no room. I have no room for all the things that I'm so desiring. Yeah. I'm so, like, excited about Thanksgiving, but I have nowhere on my plate to put those mashed potatoes, to put that turkey, to put the stuffing, the cranberry sauce. There's no room. Right? I think a lot of times we do the very same thing with the Lord. We fill up on everything in the world. We fill up on, and I want to turn this around. And we got disappointments. We got trauma. We got offense. We got shame. We got bitterness, lust, anger. And the list can go on, but my plate wasn't big enough. So but we often hold on to these things. Like there's a traumatic event that happens, or maybe you're just super disappointed. Somebody that you love has just let you down and really just betrayed you. And so you hold on to this disappointment. And instead of releasing it and instead of letting it go, we hold on to it. And if you're holding on to this with such a grip, then you have no room for gratitude. You have no room. Your mouth can't begin to have thanksgiving and gratitude if you're holding on to a grudge. A grudge and gratitude and a grudge and a spirit of offense cannot coexist. It cannot. It is impossible for this filthy water and clean water to come out of the same place. And so we have to get rid of this. We got to get rid of it. And Patrick, you can actually come up. We got to get rid of it. And you're like, well, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. I carry this. You know, I was so traumatized by my father, by my older brother, by my spouse. And I carry these wounds. It was done to me. And so we become a victim instead of a victor. And the Lord wants us to be free. He wants us to be free in this new season of our life. And I feel like I've done this. I've come to God's presence. And I've come because the Lord is preparing a table for you, right? In the presence of your enemies. Psalm 23. In the presence of your enemies. In the midst of a feeling like you're in the belly of a whale. The Bible says He's prepared a meal for you. And so are you coming with a preloaded plate that you're unwilling to get rid of? Because if we're coming to God's table and saying, oh, Lord, I love you, but I don't want to get rid of this stuff, then we will never step into His presence. We will never experience that freedom. And we will never experience the riches of the kingdom of God. The goodness of a good, good Father. Right? It's beautiful. And so what do? First Peter 5:7, it says, we cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is so light. Thank you, Jesus. And so what do we do? What do we do when we feel overwhelmed by life? What do we do when we feel overwhelmed by disappointments? We feel overwhelmed with shame and overwhelmed with condemnation and overwhelmed with lust and overwhelmed with pride and overwhelmed with anger. All these things that just have tentacles in us. You just come to the cross and you unload it. You unload it. Hallelujah. You cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You unload those things and you just make room. You make room for Him again. There goes the yams. You make room for the Lord. You say, God, I'm sorry I didn't have any space for you, but I make space for you right now. I clear my heart. I clear and I make a landing spot for you, Jesus. Say, come and have your way. I prepare a room for you in my heart. Have your way, Jesus. He says, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We cast our cares, we cast our traumas, we cast our fears, our anxieties, all the stuff, we just cast it at His feet, cast it at the foot of the cross. And you turn your gaze to Him and you begin to thank Him. You thank Him. You thank Him. And so I want to do that. We can't talk about it and not do it. We gotta have action and faith. And so stand to your feet. And we're going to just take a few minutes. And we're going to thank Him. And Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for hearts of gratitude. I thank You for the spirit of gratitude. It's the thanksgiving, Lord, that we would be a people 12 months of the year, 7 days a week. We would be a people of gratitude. No matter what is coming, no matter what we're facing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we will practice this today. Yeah, no matter what season you find yourself in, if you're on a mountaintop, thank Him. If you're in a belly of a whale, thank Him. If you're in a prison, thank Him. Whatever's happening, just thank Him, just love Him, just praise Him. And so, let's just give Him a few minutes and do that very thing.
worship you.